Okay. All right.
Good to see everybody here. It's been a crazy week. We know that with all the ash in the air. And Wednesday was really strange, all that sky being orange and everything. And then lately it's just been that dull gray haze. And of course, that's very depressing when you think about it. And of course, you walk outside and you just feel dirty because that ash is falling everywhere. And you just got to feel like you need to wash your hands all the time. All right, but let's get to business. We have things to talk about. And we want to talk about something called spiritual blindness. And based on what we read just a moment ago, God says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." See, God wants to heal us. In this text, Jesus mentions several ailments that have affected many throughout time. Heart, hearing, and vision problems. And we have this problem today in our world. Sometimes in a lot of congregations, they have the same problems. And the ailments mentioned here are not the physical type that many seek a cure for by going to a medical doctor. I mean, these are the type of ailments Jesus mentions are spiritual ailments, which only obedience to the Word of God can cure. And so we're going to notice that. And so the particular ailment that we will center our attention on this lesson is spiritual blindness. Okay, spiritual blindness. In Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, the Apostle Paul addressed this ailment when he wrote, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." I mean, so the blindness of the heart causes many other problems. And we know that. We recognize that. We see it in our world today. So Paul warned the Ephesian brethren the symptoms of this dreaded disease. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he warned them of blindness as well, saying in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." People of this world have been blinded to the truth, and they've been blinded because of the great deceiver, Satan. And so therefore, they stay in this world, they live in this world, they behave in this world, and just because they don't have a love for the truth. They're not willing to open their eyes and see Jesus. See, here he mentions those who are blinded by the god of this world, which is Satan or the devil. And so they were separated from God because of it, because they would not believe and obey the truth of the gospel. And we have many in our world today who refuse to believe, and many more who refuse to obey. You know, 2 Thessalonians 1, he talks about the fact that when the time comes, Jesus is going to come with his mighty host, dealing out retribution to those that know not God and those that keep not his commandments. So the same category here. Know not God, they don't believe God. And then, of course, they don't obey the truth. So these few passages establish the truth that blindness is a serious spiritual condition, a condition that will lead to spiritual death. And the problem is, a lot of people are in this condition and they don't care. It doesn't bother them that they're spiritually blind. And so, I mean, they're going to have to wake up. So we're going to look at some common causes of spiritual blindness. And what can get in the way, what can keep us from being enlightened in our minds and our hearts? And so we're examining some of them. First of all, lust. I mean, this is probably one of the strongest emotions a human has. Other than anger and love, the next strongest emotion is going to be lust, a desire, an inordinate desire for something. See, those with the worldly mind are driven by the desire to satisfy the lust of the flesh in every way imaginable. And the ways that they imagine are so sickening, we don't want to be exposed to it. Those of us who love God, we don't want to be exposed to it. And yet, we also have to realize that the only reason these people, I mean, we'll just take Netflix, for example. We've heard about them this week, how a lot of people are canceling their subscription because they have a show about pedophilia. In other words, grown-ups having sex with children. And so, but the problem is, in this world, we have so many who have that inordinate desire that they're willing to watch it. And so all these people saying, well, I'm not going to watch it anymore because of this one program. That one program is going to cause many just to sign up for it. So that's a problem in our world today. And they wouldn't even be making movies like that if it didn't have an appeal to the masses. And so, yes, lust is a very big problem in our world. And lust, either drug addiction, alcoholism, gambling, prostitution, child molestation, and murder, including abortion, are just a few products of lustful desire that plague many in this world today. And some of our own brethren are blinded by sinful lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which we're warned about there in 2 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Because everything that we see, everything in this world is going to perish. And so we need to be focused on the things not of this world. So the question is, are you blinded by lust? In some cases, you can be. Now, another cause for blindness, spiritual blindness, is blind guides. Jesus said, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Matthew 15 and verse 14. And he also said, Isaiah, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. That's definitely a problem that God had with his people. The leaders were not leading the people where they should go. And our land is no different today. We have these people who standing in pulpits, supposedly the bastions of teaching the truth, telling people it's okay to murder your baby. It is okay to have sex with another of the same kind. It is okay. It is okay. Everything is okay nowadays. And that's a problem. God has a problem with that. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 34, he talked about the leaders, the shepherds of his flock. They were the ones who were supposed to teach the people how to be serving God. And they were just fattening their wallets. They were just fattening their bellies. And the people were perishing. And God says, because of that, I'm going to reject you. I will send my own shepherd. He will be a true shepherd. And so that's what God did. So in Isaiah's day, the prophets caused the people to err, and they led the people of God astray. It's no different when Paul says there in 2 Timothy 4 that the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine. Wishing to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers of their own accord. And so, yeah, that's what's happening today in our world. And we have to know it's happening. And sometimes it's happening even in buildings that's marked the Church of Christ. Today, many so-called gospel preachers are tickling the ears of people who do not have a love for the truth. And they're walking in spiritual darkness as a result. And they're okay with that. As long as the preacher says it's okay, you're okay, I'm okay, everybody's okay. See, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 28:10, "Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession." See, many religious people are being led astray by false teachers. Many of them are. And, of course, they don't have a problem with it. They're not seeking the truth. They're seeking someone to tickle their ears and just tell them what they want to hear. And because let's face it, if you don't like what one preacher says, you can go out and find another preacher who will tell you what you want to hear. And there's all too many of those. And Jesus warned of the false teachers in his day. Paul and Peter wrote of the false teachers in their day, and we have to warn of false teachers these days. And of course, some people have a problem with that. Exposing someone for teaching error, that's a no-no. You shouldn't do that. I mean, sometimes we can talk about the Catholic Church and the errors that it's involved in. We can talk about Baptist Church and their false teaching, Methodist, Episcopal, whatever you want to say. Oh, you shouldn't be calling out names like that and shaming these people. Well, if it gets them to look at the Bible and start reading, maybe it's worth it. It should be. That's the attitude we should have. See, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot produce forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." In one of the parallel passages, he likens it to a spring of water. A spring either has bitter water or sweet water. It doesn't have both. And yet, people sit in church, they want both. Oh, they want their preacher to be a strong Bible teacher, but they still want to continue doing what they want. So, I mean, it's no different today. So the question, are you blindly following a preacher because he is your preacher? Or do you search the scriptures daily to find out whether the things that he teaches and preaches are so? As the Bereans of Acts 17:11. And that's what I always encourage you to do. Read the scriptures, read the passages, and see if I've made the proper application. And if you're not sure about it, ask. I mean, very few people have ever asked me something about something I've said in the sermon. Very few people have done that. So it's either I'm making myself extremely plain and clear, which I hope is the case, or some people just aren't paying attention. Matthew 23 and verse 33. Jesus said, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" I mean, he just spent the whole chapter talking about the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites because of what they were doing, because they were turning their back on God but forcing other people to do these things. So, are you being led by a blind guide, a false teacher, or a snake, the two-legged kind, as Jesus described them? I mean, that's something to consider. All right, the fear of men. Here's another problem that causes spiritual blindness: being afraid of men. See, some brethren fear what one may think if they tell someone they're a Christian. And I'm sure a lot of you have experienced that. If I tell my coworkers I'm a Christian, oh, they're going to get all over my case. They're going to be watching me. They're going to be putting temptation in front of me. They're going to be throwing out words in front of me, see if I get a reaction or something like that. So what's the alternative? I just won't tell anybody I'm a Christian. Well, that's the wrong thing to do anyway, right? Because we're supposed to let our light shine. See, some of the brethren fear what visitors might think when a gospel preacher specifically refutes denominational doctrine from the pulpit with the truth of the gospel. And I've seen it happen. They invite their Baptist neighbor over, and the preachers get up there, start talking about the nasty old Baptists and the error that they teach. And then they apologize for what they had to hear. Or it might be another issue, divorce and remarriage. Well, I'm sorry you had to hear that. I don't really go along with that, but that's just this preacher. That's his way. I mean, people make excuses all the time to their friends, and that's not going to do any good either. So they fear what their visitor friends might think. And some preachers of men practice the Bill Clinton methodology of don't ask, don't tell. Don't ask me what I believe, and I won't tell you what I believe. And I have known brethren like this. Depending on where they go to hold a meeting somewhere, and it's known that they practice a particular era. Did you preach on that? Well, no, I thought it best not to rile up any feathers. I mean, so weak coming from a gospel preacher. At just basically, the ones I've heard say that, I lost all respect for. And so, don't ask, don't tell. Don't ask me about what I believe at the end of this world. Is hell forever, or is it just a quick burning up and you're gone? Some preachers have that mentality. Oh, don't ask me, because if I tell you what I think, guess what? You might fire me. Really? Yeah. You might fire me if I tell you what I think. I mean, some people are that way. See, John wrote in Revelation 21 in verse 8, but the fearful, the cowardly, as said in the New King James, the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So he puts in this category the fearful, people who are afraid of man. And so they're grouped with, and look who they're grouped with, all the bad people. So those who are fearful are just as wicked in the sight of God as the wicked people. See, Solomon wrote, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. See, that's the problem. People don't put their trust in God, that they have the fear of men hanging over them. So they don't tell their neighbors about Christ. They don't tell their neighbors they go to church or that they're even a Christian or that they believe the Bible is the Word of God. They're afraid what the neighbors might say or think. See, neither is the pulpit nor the army of Christ is a place for fearful soul. For the Bible teaches that the fearful will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The only people going to enter the kingdom of heaven are those who believe and obey, who trust and obey. I mean, they're the only ones going to go to heaven. And some preachers sit up here and they really don't preach any gospel at all. Some of them are nothing more than professional speakers, paid speakers to do something. Instead of guiding people down the right path, they just fill up 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes of airtime and then sit down. They don't get that way. See, some so-called gospel preachers fear that they will lose their job or popularity if they speak the truth on a controversial subject. Yeah, I mean, they might do that. And others, every now and then you hear about a preacher losing their job because they change their view on a particular doctrine. I mean, more and more of this is happening in our country where these people have adopted this idea of what they call the realized eschatology. In other words, the AD 70 doctrine. In other words, Christ came back in AD 70. Christ isn't coming back again. So we're just really, we don't do anything. Then how can we be saved? Well, there's nothing we can do. As they're teaching, they're standing up in front of a group of people telling there's nothing they can do to be saved, and the Bible is full of examples of what we need to do to be saved. And so they stand up there, and it's no wonder that they get fired if they can't convince everybody to get on board with them. They get fired. And a lot of preachers have gotten people on board by teaching error and them not refuting the error. They just kind of accept it. That's a tragedy. See, Peter and the apostles did not cower down to men and cease to teach and preach the truth. Acts 5:41-42, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. This is right after they said, we must obey God rather than men. And so they were beaten because of that. They were not fearful of man. They knew the power of God. They knew what God would provide for them. And they were not afraid. They feared God. They respected God. So who do you fear, man or God? I mean, that's a valid question that we have to ask. Remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. All right, another thing that causes spiritual blindness is prejudice. And prejudice, let's look at that. Prejudice defined by Webster's Dictionary, preconceived judgment or opinion, or an adverse opinion or learning formed without just grounds or before sufficient knowledge. In other words, they're told those people are evil, and without investigating for themselves, without getting all the facts. And we know in our country, a lot of people told their kids, you stay away from that kind. You stay away from that kind. Those people are evil. And they don't know any difference. And it's no wonder we have problems in this area. But sometimes, even in the church, there are those who want to stick with the Bible, and there's those who want to be so free with the Bible they can do anything they want, and they start calling one group names. And then they look around, well, you don't want to be one of those. I mean, that's just a real tragedy when they assign names and descriptions to these people. And sometimes they've had to become necessary. To be a conservative Church of Christ, sometimes we have to say, well, we don't use institutions to do the work of the church. And sometimes, so we have to carry that disclaimer. A lot of times, in describing in some of the books, like 21st Century Christian has a listing of all the churches of Christ. And then they have a whole bunch of little things down in parentheses. Well, this is what they hold to. They believe in premillennialism, and they believe in this. They believe in baptism for remission of sin. They believe in musical instruments. They believe in this or that. And so in the churches of Christ even, all these differing doctrines are being taught and practiced. So they just did it, well, as an information only. These people only use one cup. These people don't have a located preacher. These people do this or that. Part of it is shaming them. Part of it is shaming everybody else. See, prejudice has caused many to reject the truth of God's word before giving it a fair hearing. You start quoting something out of the Bible, people turn it off, they're plugging up their ears, la 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 la, they don't want to hear anything you have to say. And so they don't give it a fair hearing. If I can show you from the Bible what the Bible says about salvation, would you pay attention? Then you start reading from the Bible, I don't want to hear that, I just want your opinion. And that's really all they want, just an opinion. Is it going to cause them to change theirs? No. But if you get the chance to read the Bible to them, they have to realize their opinion is going against God. And so, yeah, they don't want to do that. So many are entangled in religious error because they are unwilling to examine what they believe, what they teach and practice, and when it compared to the Bible. They're doing things the Bible does not authorize, but yet they're going to continue doing it because they want to. See, countless souls have been and will be doomed in an eternal flame because of false teaching. They have been deceived. Where the Bible says, be not deceived. On several occasions says that. Galatians 6:6 says that. Be not deceived. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. So we have to be very careful not to be deceived. And how are we not deceived? By learning the Word of God. That's how we do it. And so many are blinded by prejudice. See, when the Apostle Paul made his defense in Acts 22, he had to contend with people who were blinded to the truth because of prejudice. Well, Jews are the only way to be, and if you're not a Jew, you can't go to heaven. I mean, that was their understanding. And then Paul said, but wait a minute, Gentiles, they're allowed to be saved, and Peter showed you that. See, the Jews were willing to hear him until he made mention that God had selected him to go to the Gentiles. And the Jews despised Gentiles greatly. And when they heard this, they went into a rage. They cast off all their clothes, threw dust in the air, and demanded that Paul be beaten. I mean, when someone speaks today and they give a speech and they speak what the truth is, others just go into a rage. And we see that on the streets of Portland, Seattle, and other big cities of our land. If somebody says something, they even mention something. They mention the police. They mention the president. They mention this or that. They mention the law. People just start going wild and start throwing things and tearing things up. Another problem that we have that causes spiritual blindness is all this religious confusion out there. And there's no doubt about that. There's many religions in this world, and all of which are false and vain, with the exception of the one authorized by Jesus Christ. That's the only one that God and Christ authorizes, is the true church. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. See, of the seven world's most popular religions, only one recognizes Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And even then, within that group, what we call the, you might call them evangelicals or something, some of them may think that Christ was a good man, but he wasn't deity. And so there's those groups that eliminate Jesus from the scene. And a lot of other people do so also. And then when they reject his words, what are they doing? They're saying, I don't want anything to do with Jesus. And so that's what happens. See, in Matthew 15:7-9, Jesus said, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophet say to you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And that's what happens when men start teaching rather than following God's guidance and teaching what God said. That definitely is the problem. All right. In Matthew 15:13, Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So that's what he says. You know, in Psalm 125, unless the Lord build the house, they that built it labor in vain. It might be 127. Y'all check it out for me, okay? But anyway, it's in there. So Jesus has reference here to every false religion and the commandments of men, which will be defeated and uprooted by God and his word. In John 17:17-19, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So the religion of Jesus Christ is the only religion that is true. And really, it's a faith that we have. We really, given it a title of being a religion, really does not do it justice, because religion has so much meaning to different people in this world. This is our faith. This is what we believe in. And we shouldn't even really treat it as a religion. We should treat it as a life, as a lifestyle, as a daily walk with God. See, peace and unity with God and his people are possible only when people believe it and obey it. If you can't get four people in a room to agree with to something, you're not going to have much unity in there. And so you have to have a standard by which to follow. As Paul explained, you got to be of the same mind, intent on the same purpose, continual in your same thoughts, practicing with one another, sharing with one another these things. And another problem some people have that causes spiritual blindness are family ties. Sometimes family ties are so thick and so deep that people will miss out on heaven just to keep the family happy. You realize that? See, some people are members of a particular religion because their father, the mother, or other family members were members of that religion. And if you do something else, well, you're just spitting on their grave. You're just spitting on them. You're disrespecting your in-laws or your elders or your family. You're doing something like that. That's what they're going to be told. See, some will justify the sinfulness of a family member rather than rebuking the family member for the sin they're involved in because of family ties. Well, they make up all sorts of excuses. Well, it's just a moment of weakness. It's okay. He's not like that. She's not like that. I mean, if she's been pregnant three times, had abortions, okay, she's got a lifestyle that she shouldn't be involved in. But yet family won't talk about that. They don't want to make waves in their family. See, some parents become highly indignant and enraged when the Bible class teacher has to tell the parents that their dear, sweet little Johnny acted like anything but a little angel in Bible class. I don't know if Gene ever got a message about that, Johnny, or not, but you know what I'm saying. And I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen it. People that, oh, my child is perfect little, my child would never do that. Candy babysat some kids, and she said, "Your kid did this." My child would never do that. And not 3 seconds later, the child did exactly what Candy said he did. And she still walked out the door. My child would never do that. All right, so, I mean, what can you do about that? They're a sweet little angel. So they probably get mad and go to another church. See, some brethren have changed their tune on controversial subjects, such as marriage, divorce, and remarriage, because a family member or a close friend is living in an adulterous marriage. Well, they say that I have rethought the subject and have come to a new understanding. I have heard that so many times. And I'm sure Brother Jack has heard it many times as well. Well, we've studied the issue. You know, it's, I mean, every now and then. Well, when it comes to instrumental music, the elders and the preaching, well, we've restudied the issue, and we really don't see a problem with introducing instrumental music into our worship. And just whatever you want to come up with, they restudy the issue. How could brethren for hundreds of years be right in something and all of a sudden restudy and realize it's okay to do something different? Definitely they're not speaking where the Bible speaks. So what they really have done, they've compromised the truth and they're blinded to the truth by family ties and close relationships. See, in 1 Samuel 3, 12 and 13, the text says, "In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity for which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." The sons of Eli were doing all sorts of evil things. They were going into homes and having relationships with all the female members, and they were taking money from these people and using it for their own wild whims, and Eli didn't say anything. The people got tired of Eli. They didn't like the way Eli was acting and not restraining his own sons. They kind of felt the father has some responsibility to train his children right. And he didn't do it. So God sent them another priest, Samuel. Eli failed to restrain his sons because he was blinded by family ties. And what about you? Does that happen to you? See, there are many ways in which a person can suffer spiritual blindness. In all these ways we've discussed, we find that it's still a choice one has to make for themselves. Everyone has to make this choice. And so you make a choice to be seeking the truth, or you make a choice to do the other way. There's only one right way to heaven, and spiritual blindness is designed to keep you from it. Keep that in mind. Anything that keeps you out of heaven is because of your spiritual blindness. So open your eyes and your hearts to be receptive to Jesus and his gospel. So that's a lesson. Consider these thoughts. I mean, it is definitely a sickness that has invaded all the churches of this land and around the world. It's definitely a problem, and we have to deal with it. We should deal with it, because souls are at stake. That's why we do it. We don't stand up here for our health. We don't stand up here for posterity or anything like that. There's souls at stake here, and we want souls to go to heaven. And if we're a true church, we all want that. So we know the only way people are going to get to heaven is by hearing the truth and obeying the truth. And there's no other way to get to heaven. Absolutely no other way. Even though there's preachers out there saying there's many ways you can get to heaven. No, there's only one way to get to heaven. And we need to be doing that. So that's why we do this. Sometimes we speak a little harshly about this, because it's infuriating when brethren are willing to tolerate any and all sorts of sin just so that they'll be happy. Shouldn't be that way. So consider these thoughts. We're going to offer the invitation to obey the gospel, respond to it, confess your sins. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.